Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into episode one of Mike and Steve, a monthly podcast in which we catch up with each member of the Cuyahoga Falls High School class of 1994, one at a time. Along the way, we'll also discuss some Cuyahoga Falls news that may be of interest to our class, reminisce about old times, and just generally have fun. I am Steve Henry, and I'm here with Mike Carson. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Steve, and hello, everyone listening.
Hello. So, Mike, you had the idea to do this podcast. Do you want to tell everyone how it came about?
Yes, sure. I would be happy to, Steve. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Nice to
happy
see
to
you
be
today.
Here. Happy to be here. Happy to have everyone listening. So, yes, the idea for the podcast. So, I was reading this New Yorker article one day, and it was like it was talking about how men, when they reach middle age, they basically have no friends anymore, and they don't even really realize it. They're like, if they stop to think about it, they're like, oh, I don't have any friends. you might have to bleep that out.
I have to buy some bleeping sound effects.
They're like, oh man, I don't have any friends. And actually, the New Yorker article went on to say how it's not good. It's bad that they don't. I mean, everyone knows it's not good to not have any friends, but it's actually a health crisis. People with less, you know, friends to talk to, they have more health issues. They actually have a shorter lifespan by like 7 years or something, more suicide rates, more, you know, depression and stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's just a way, something with our society that middle-aged men just kind of lose touch with their friends. And what it said is, women, they can, in general, women can just do a phone call like every week or daily, or, you know, they can just keep in touch with friends. That it's easy for them, basically, and they keep their friends. But for men, they need an activity to do it, and otherwise they lose touch. And I read this and I was like, you know, I don't have that many close friends, but I have, you know, Steve, and I've been good friends since high school. But then I was like, ah, man, we haven't really. When's the last time I saw him? When's the last time I talked to him? I mean, I felt like we were really good friends, but once I thought about it, I was like, man, I haven't talked to him in months. And it's like, feels like it's getting longer and longer between talks. And I was like, I got to do something about this. So what it suggested in the article is that, yeah, men need an activity, to regularly interact. And so I thought, I don't know, somehow I thought, okay, let's do a podcast. And I don't know how, somehow I just thought, let's interview every single person from our graduating class. And so, so I proposed that idea to Steve, and he was into it. And so that's what we've done. That's what we're doing. And I gotta say, it has totally worked, man. It just completely worked. It's awesome. I mean, this was a smart move. Like, we have been talking like daily texting and like having these Skype calls. I mean, it is awesome. I'm really glad we did this.
It's pretty intense.
It's intense. Is it a little too much?
It's a little bit overbearing, but at least we're interacting, because we are men, and we're middle-aged, and we need an activity.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, we're in touch. Like, it's good. I can feel my health restoring, my depression lifting. Years of my lifespan have been added by talking to you, Steve, on this podcast.
All right. So that's what the podcast is about, then.
Yeah.
So, I guess. So why don't we move in to the section of the podcast that we're tentatively calling news/tidbits/gossip.
Ooh, this sounds good. This is the juicy part. Listen up. I mean, the juicy part is actually interviewing the guests, which we'll get to later. Josh Bear. Oh, this is a good one.
It's going to be juicy.
Oh man, you should hear, you should listen to what he reveals.
There's some juice. That's coming up.
But until then, we have this one section
where we talk about boring stuff.
We talk about boring ass from like a long time ago.
News.
But at least it spills, you know, fills in some space.
Yeah, we can't just go straight into an interesting person talking.
Yeah, this builds it up. But no, Josh Bear, this is good. Wait till you hear the Josh Bear stuff. It's good. But if you want to hear the Josh Bear interview, you gotta wait through this part.
Okay. So the news story that I dug up was more of a current event. Actually, didn't have to dig it up. It was on Facebook. And it involved the teachers being laid off at the high school, which is unfortunate. Apparently, this has been in the works for a while, and the city schools are facing budget cuts, and they don't have enough money. I was kind of wondering, I didn't have a chance to look into it, how many students there are at the high school now, and if that's declined or not. I'm kind of curious about that. It does seem like Cuyahoga Falls, like when I go home and visit, it seems like it's kind of an aging population at this point, but maybe not. I'm not sure. I was kind of curious about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like if there are less students, maybe they need less teachers now.
Right. Yeah. Like
that would be a little more understandable, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Like rather than just like not managing the money well or spending it on the wrong things. But I mean, yeah. It seems likely that the tax base has declined a little. I don't have all the details. I didn't have time to do full analysis. But I don't know if like both the school age population or just the general population in Cuyahoga Falls is declining or not. It seems definitely possible. But anyway, so the story was interesting. I guess 8 teachers at the high school got laid off. I guess there were some protests. Which was
that's good.
Yeah, like students protesting, and that's cool. Although I gotta say they weren't all that impressive. Like I found some pictures on some of the newspapers, and there's like 8 students out there holding signs or something. But at least that's 8. I don't know.
Maybe they got extra credit if they
Or maybe there are only like 50 students, and so that was like 20% of them or something. Is that possible?
Because it's an aging population. Yeah. There's like 10 students in the school.
Half
now.
The school.
It's 80% of the students were out there protesting. there's like 10 teachers per student.
Right. Ratio. They're not going to stand for this. Anyway, so it's good to see some students who care about their teachers and they were out there. So good for them. Speaking of the schools. You, Mike, met the superintendent recently.
Yes, I did. I met the superintendent.
Maybe you could have talked to him about it.
I know. I wish I would have known. But yeah, I met him. I was in town recently because my mother won a Star Award, which is like the Employee of the Year Award for Cuyahoga Falls Schools. And so I went there and surprised her there. And yeah, I met the superintendent. He's a nice guy. I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision for him. I'm sure has his reasons for that. And he seems like a nice guy. I have nothing bad to say about him. One thing that was noteworthy about meeting him.
Mike has just used the word noteworthy for the first time.
When I met him, so I met a bunch of people there because it's like all these people my mom works with and it was normal meeting them. You know, it's like the normal chit chat, really nice people. I mean, whenever you meet people, especially me, it's like awkward a little. I don't know how to do conversation that well. but it was all kind of normal meeting people except. Yeah, the one thing noteworthy about meeting superintendents is he crushed my hand when he shook my hand. He crushed it.
He crushed your hand? He had a very firm handshake, in other words.
Yeah, he had a very strong, like, gripping eye, like, gazing into my eye, like, eye staring down, hand-crushing shake. And, you know, it's not, I'm not saying anything bad. And, you know, if I was, maybe if I was more honest at the time or more aware at the time, I would have said, you have a very strong hand, you know, you have a very strong handshake. I don't, I'm not into that. Maybe that would,
instead thank you for of like the talking, handshake, but I prefer a slightly more relaxed grip.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so you know.
I appreciate, you know, I see, I can understand where you're coming from with such a firm, manly handshake, but it's not my thing. You know, I'm not into that and I prefer not to do it. That I don't want to have a, like a wrestling handshake match right here in the middle of the teacher's Star Wars lounge.
Did you feel like, did you grip back harder when that happened? Or did you just sort of let it go? Like, I feel like when someone, when I get one of those handshakes, sometimes I feel like my competition instinct kicks in.
Yeah.
And I try to out-grip them.
I know. I think by, like, it's a natural reaction. Somebody starts squeezing your hand, you're like, you got to squeeze the back out of it.
Yeah. I'm not going to be squeezed like that.
Hell no. Hell no, I'm not going to be squeezed.
I'm not going to just back off. And become a very...
Some man I just met is not going to be squeezing me.
I am the one doing the squeezy here. That's how it's going to be.
If anyone is going to be squeezing in this room, I am damn sure.
I don't care if you are the superintendent of schools. Don't squeeze me like that, man. Please. I don't come into your place.
I'm not going to let another man in front of my mother and my wife squeeze me like that.
Yeah, I wonder, like, some people, they must practice the handshakes. I don't know, like, I feel like I have a pretty big hand. But I'm not sure I have a really strong grip. I always feel kind of inadequate because sometimes I shake people's hands and I want to make a good impression and they have like these really rough calloused hands. I feel kind of bad about myself when I squeeze like that.
I know. I think that's the problem with those hard handshakes. It makes the other person feel bad. It's like, oh, like I can't help but think, oh man, I'm kind of a wuss. Like,
yeah.
I'm wimpier. I'm a wimpy guy. That's what goes through my initial thing that goes through my head. And then after that, like as a defense mechanism, I'm like, who is this guy squeezing my hand? What is, I don't know.
I think we got to stop with the firm handshakes.
I know. We got to stop.
Like, what's the point of that?
I'm going to start something. Well, anyway, anyone listening, like just tell if you have sons, tell your sons or your nephews or whatever, just like you just need a regular handshake. You don't need to like squeeze it like crazy.
A moderate handshake is fine.
So anyway, if you're listening, Mr. Superintendent, I really liked you meeting you. You're a nice guy, and I'm sure laying off these teachers is a hard decision. You know, sometimes you got to make hard decisions if you're the leader. But you know, just think about your handshake. This is just a little message to become a little more aware. And I'm sorry I didn't bring it up at the time. I was caught off guard. It's, I wish I would have, I don't know. How do you bring that up at the time? You can't bring that up.
I've never heard of anyone bringing that up. Because, I mean, you can't really bring it up. I mean, you could kind of hint at it. You could, a lot of times you could just say, oh, you have a very firm handshake. And that probably gets the point across. If someone's cares, they'll be like, oh, well, maybe I squeeze his hand too hard. Or probably they'll be like, oh, yeah, I got a firm handshake.
Heck, that's right. That's right, bitch.
You don't need to tell me.
No, but I guess one more honest way you could do is just, if I was being completely honest, I'd be like, that was a little too hard of a, I am happy to meet you, but that handshake is too hard, and I didn't get a good feeling from that handshake. I have a need to connect with you when I shake your hand, and I didn't feel like I was really connecting when I shook your hand because I felt like there is something in the way of our connection.
And it was your overly firm handshake.
It was your big fat muscle hand.
Okay, so good. Hopefully we've made a small contribution towards more reasonable handshakes in the future. So, okay. I think at this point, unless you have anything else to say about handshakes,
no.
We can take a break and we will come back and we will have our first guest, Josh Bear.
All right.
Yeah. See you in a bit.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Today we have as our guest, our first guest on the Mike and Steve show, the first class of 1994 classmate, Josh Bear. And I have to say, I'm really thankful to have Josh here. I'm really glad to have him. And, you know, this is the first show, so he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. And, you know, that's pretty brave, courageous, and thank you so much, Josh, for taking a risk on us and coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. This could be the worst show, and they'll keep getting better after this one. And I want to come back on and redeem myself.
Well, no, that's why we had to have you first, because it is gonna. Steve and I are gonna have the worst show, but at least we have you right. To make up for it. So.
All right. Yeah. No pressure.
We chose you.
So you better be good. So you better be good. So before we begin talking, Josh, what we want to do is paint a picture of the guests before, you know, each show, kind of how we remember them, because, you know, people listening to this podcast will be a lot of our classmates and they'll have their own memories of you and their own kind of visions, but there might even be people listening who, you know, didn't go to our high school, don't know. So it's kind of just to paint a little picture. So Steve, do you have your yearbook? What is this?
Yes. So first we can do a sort of objective description of the person, because in our yearbooks, we had a senior directory, which lists the activities that everybody was involved in. So for Josh Bear, we have soccer, 9, 10, 11, and 12 grades, track, also all years. You are a class officer in 9th and 10th grade, which I did not know. And then ski club,
yeah,
which I also didn't know, which I was also part of. I was not a class officer.
Me too. That's weird.
I don't really ski club together. I don't even know it. I don't remember. I don't have any memories of high school ski club whatsoever.
Maybe you were not in it.
Did you just put it down so it looked a little better for the yearbook? Did you feel like you didn't have enough activities?
Yeah, I was trying to brag about my. Yeah, I wanted to be more outdoorsy. I thought I was cool. No, I definitely ski because I snowboard now. So I definitely, because I first started skiing with my cousin Mark. So I know we would go, I forget where we used to go a lot. Yeah, that was kind of cool. I switched over to snowboarding because, as you know, when you ski, I just got really cautious of what my groin was doing. Every time you wrecked, it was you were one groin shot away from just pulling some crazy groin muscle. So snowboarding just seemed more, as I got older.
I imagine you could hurt your groin also snowboarding.
I hurt my groin just getting out of my office chair at work sometimes.
Right.
And trying to get a couple
of times. It's easy to hurt.
All right.
So yeah. What else was I doing? Thought I was the vice president. I don't know what I was.
It just says class officer. Yeah, if you're a vice president, you should get more credit than just class officer.
Yeah, damn. Kinda lame. Vice president. Damn, man.
Well, I think so. I don't think I had the guts to. I didn't have the courage to run for president. I think I was running up against Joel Petrino. I remember making signs.
Well, what else does it say?
Yeah, that's everything for Josh. So soccer, track, we were in track together, class officer,
I was not involved in that, in ski club, which apparently we're all in together.
Apparently.
Our brains are wiped for that memory.
Yeah, Mike, I don't even know if I remember you being in ski club.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot you were in it until you mentioned it. And then I remember like one time being on the ski lift and seeing this like tall, skinny guy going down the hill and hitting this jump and like wiping out. And it was like so hilarious.
I injured my groin on that too, I think.
Yeah, your groin sound seemed like. So anyway, so here's a little bit more how I remember Josh from high school. So yeah, we weren't great friends. So this is just kind of how I remember him, just from like, I think we were in a couple classes together and we were in this, I remember us being in the ski club together. But anyway, this is what it was like. Josh was like a sporty, you know, athletic, soccer playing, Adidas wearing, preppy, popular guy, you know, good looks. But he, you know, he had what I remember about him, what I liked about him is that he like had a good sense of humor. I remember that. And he was, you know, and I still think he is like this part. I think, I mean, all the other, I don't know, but like, he's like down to earth. I remember being really down to earth, like more than almost anyone maybe I've met in my life, like down to earth and says it as it is. Those are like, you know, some of the traits I remember about Josh. So.
Yeah. So Mike and I were reminiscing. I don't know if you remember this, Josh. We remembered this one time. Like after high school, we were in college, I think. And Mike and I think we're going through a phase. Like, I think Mike had pink hair or something. And I was wearing nothing but like disco shirts bought from the thrift store. And we were sitting in Chapel Hill Mall. I have no idea if you remember this. I remember this very clearly. We were sitting in Chapel Hill Mall and you walked by. And you walked right by us. And as you walked by, we're like, Josh, hey. And you kind of looked at us with this really puzzled expression. And then I think the realization of who we were dawned on you. I think I had a mustache also. And then you were totally like, oh my God, I thought you guys were a bunch of homeless guys. Which
I poured hot coffee on your faces and ran.
Yeah, you... No, sorry, I don't have anything. I think you said something like that and just walked by. And it was just hilarious because I think, like, it wasn't offensive at all. Like, I feel like a lot of people, if they had said that, I'd be like, oh, man, that was kind of offensive. What's the deal? But yeah. Because it was you, it was just, like, matter of fact. It was very good natured. It was just like, oh, my God, I thought you guys were homeless.
Yeah, it's like complete shock. I remember, too. It was like, what the hell happened to you guys? It was like an accident. Yeah. Like, we were in some horrible accident. Like, oh, my God, what the hell happened to you guys? You guys are like a couple of homeless. I mean, I probably was, too. Like, I probably, like, stunk and, like, dirty.
How old were you, though? What age?
This is college.
Oh, so I was probably working in the mall because I would work. Well, that was it. When I went to OU, I would come back and work at Kaufman's, maybe, I think. Yeah, we were probably 21 then, or 20 or 21, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about that time.
20 years ago.
So here's another story I remember about Josh. And this one, you know, I don't have many stories like this. And I actually think about this a lot. So my life, I'm 40 years old now. And I've thought about this throughout my life at various times. It had that much of an impact on me. So, and Josh probably doesn't remember this at all. I think it might have even been in middle school. But I remember so Converse All-Star high top shoes were like popular. But my mom got me generic ones. Okay. to my horror, like I had to wear these to school, these like generic ones, and like people made fun of me. And I remember being in class, like in homeroom or something, and it was quiet. Everybody's doing work or homework or something. And somebody was, they were like, Mike's wearing generic All-Stars, what a loser, like saying it like pretty loud, and I'm like sweating, I'm trying to ignore it, like pretend it's not there, like hoping it'll just go away, but like it's like it causes me so much anxiety, like this like knot in my stomach, and he's like saying it louder, he's getting worse, he's like, oh, what a loser, generic, he has generic All-Stars on. And then you were like shut the what do you got on? Like you totally defended me, and like, and then he shut up, and like, like, that was such a relief to me. And, you know, that's like pretty, I think it's an honorable thing that, and it says a lot, you know, who knew, we were just kids then. And, but like the, like, I feel like the goal in middle school was just like, put your head down low. Like, don't, like for me, it was like, just try not to stand out and be abused. Like, it's like prison. And so, so I really appreciate that you did that. You know, that was, you know, that, it was an inspiration kind. I feel like maybe it even impacted my life. Maybe I've defended some, you know, some of the, you know, other people in my life.
Generic non-name brand wearing people.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up to help paint the picture of Josh. And also just to say, thanks, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, man, no problem. Yeah. I defend people all the time now when they're wearing generic stuff and they're getting made fun of.
Awesome. So, Josh, could you give us a brief timeline of events since high school?
Yeah, I was really kind of dreading it. Because I was sitting in the shower before this thing. You know, it's almost been 25 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. And it, like, summarized your past 23 years of your life in a couple of minutes.
You have 30 seconds.
Go.
Yeah, go. I know we talked about this on the pre-thingy. Yeah, so, what, wait, after high school or after college? After high school. Yeah.
25 seconds.
25 seconds. So after high school, I went to a small college in Erie, Pennsylvania, because I still wanted to play soccer. So they had a soccer team. It was a Division II school, and I thought I could, you know, get on there. So I did that for 2 years. And my sophomore year, we actually went to the NCAA Final Four for Division II soccer. So that was kind of a cool experience. And then I really realized that I was never going to be, like, you know, a starter on the team or anything like that. So my sister had gone to Ohio University and she had studied telecommunications. So I was minoring in business at the time. So she's like, you just, you know, transfer to OU and get your degree in telecom. It's, you know, this huge thing. And they're just hiring like hotcakes out of college. So I transferred to OU my sophomore year and then graduated in 99 from there. And at the time, I think it was MCI at the time, they were really recruiting. Like, Ohio University was one of the only couple of schools that had like a legit like telecom degree. So, you know, so they would recruit pretty heavily out of our school. So, you know, they basically flew us down to Texas and then interviewed us and a ton of people from OU like moved down to Texas to work for MCI at the time. So then I lived in Dallas for 8 years. And then I eventually like kind of just started to miss Ohio, you know, miss home. So I found a job in Cleveland. So I moved back in 2008 to Cleveland. And then I had met a girl in Dallas and she moved to Chicago. So I actually lived in Cleveland for 6 months and moved back in with my parents when I was like, you know, in my early 30s. So nice. I was like sleeping in my sister's bedroom and I was able to work from home. It was kind of cool because, you know, my mom was making dinner and you know, stuff like that.
Did she do your laundry at that time?
No. I had to do my own laundry. Yeah, I've been doing my own laundry for a long time.
I've been doing my own laundry for at least 3 years.
Well, that's it. She took one of my shirts one time as a little kid and I got pissed off at her. And after that, I was like, you're not doing my laundry anymore. I was probably in grade school or middle school.
So you did your own laundry since then?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that is impressive.
Well, because I didn't want my stuff to shrink. I started hang dry. Like, I still hang dry a bunch of stuff to this day, which is kind of crazy.
How long did you live at home? And what did you think of it?
It was interesting. I just kind of kept to myself, though. I would just, you know, eat dinner. My mom, you know, I think my mom was retired at the time. I think both my parents were retired at the time. I just kind of stayed in my sister's room and had the TV and just kind of yeah, I don't know. But it was kind of neat because my, you know, I'm kind of looking back. I'm glad I did it because my stepdad had passed away maybe like a year later. So I got to spend, I wouldn't have been able to spend that time with him. Not that we did a whole bunch, but, you know, we would hang out and watch TV or do whatever, check out a baseball game at the Akron Arrows or something like that. But yeah, so then, so then I moved to Chicago for this girl that I met in Dallas, and then, so then that ended up not working. Like, we basically didn't make it past like a couple of seasons, and then, which kind of sucked because, like,
it sounds like it's a reality show. Like, you made it to season 3, and then the show was canceled or something.
I think we made it like the fall, winter, and then we broke up in the spring. But it was kind of cool because I had the whole entire summer in Chicago, and I had a couple of buddies from college that lived close by too. So that was kind of cool. So we got to pal around and do a bunch of summer activities in Chicago, which is kind of cool. And then I went back to Cleveland again, and then eventually I lost my job with, it was Verizon Business at the time, but eventually lost my job when I moved back to Cleveland. So then I was unemployed for a while and then found a job down in Columbus. So that was like with Time Warner at the time. So that was, I guess, almost 7 years ago. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Kind of around here and there.
All right. So, all right, Josh, tell us. Here's another segment of our podcast, which is you tell us about a day in the life of Josh Bear, just so we can like get to know you a little better, like what you're up to these days. Like, what's a day in the life of Josh Bear?
I have a hard time with this too. So basically, I got my dog. So I've got my dog Duncan. He's 15 years old now. So I rescued Duncan when I lived in Dallas. So, at one point in time when I was working for it was Verizon Business. I had quit that job and took a sales job and it didn't last very long. So I was unemployed. So I was dating a girl who had a pug. So I met her maybe 15 years ago. And I never even knew what a pug was before I met her. And I went out to her apartment. This crazy dog was just like doing laps around the apartment. I was like, what the hell is that thing? Like, that's my dog. her dog was named Buster. It was a black pug. So it took me a while to get used to Buster, but I basically like fell in love with this dog. And like, she would come over to my apartment and not bring him. I'm like, what? You didn't bring the dog? You know, I was more interested in like seeing the dog than her. Like, she's like, yeah, you bring the dog. Like, is there a problem? Like, well, yeah.
Dating you for your dog, of course.
So anyways, when I was unemployed, we had kind of been thinking about, I had moved in with her, and I think we had talked about, I was still living in my apartment. We had talked about getting another dog so that Buster would have like a friend. So when I was unemployed, she had emailed me. She said, hey, you got to get down to the animal shelter because this dog, this pug, Duncan, his name was Amos at the time, but she's like, he's available. And I was like, all right. So I drove down there and brought Buster with me. And then they got along. So eventually, I didn't take Buster the first time. I saw Duncan the first time. And I think it brought Buster down the second time and then eventually adopted him. And then so then we had two pugs. Yeah. So the past 15 years, I've been taking care of some sort of pug in my life, but I rescued Duncan. And then, so a day in my life has basically been, not virtually the same, but I wake up and I have to walk, feed the dog and walk him. And
So the alarm goes off at like 6:30, 7,
yeah. 6:15. No, I've been sleeping a little bit these past few months. Let's just say my alarm goes off when I get up in the morning.
Okay, and then
it's morning though. We can say that.
So then you So then you take the dog for a walk, feed the dog.
Yeah, I take him for a walk before I feed him.
Where do you walk him? Just like around the block, or is there a park or something?
Yeah, so I just kind of, I have a few different, just a few different paths I could take him down, you know, because we live in like there's a lot of apartments around me, and then a couple streets over there's like, you know, people live in like houses and stuff like that. So it's like a mix of like housing and apartments. So I just try to mix it up because I get kind of bored with the walks. So I just try to take them on a different path, like every time, you know, morning, afternoon, at night. And then I just, I listen to this. I still listen to this radio show in Dallas every day. So I just pop in my Bluetooth and I'll walk the dog. And then, the weird thing for me now though, you know, he's 15. So he started to like go deaf like last summer. So I didn't realize it until, you know, I'd yell like Duncan, and he would just be sitting there.
It's not funny.
Like a little weird. I don't know if this is weird. I don't know if anybody else has ever had a deaf animal, but like I still, when I leave the house, like I'll fill up like a Kong toy with like peanut butter, and then I still like leave the volume on. Like I'll turn the TV off, but I'll leave the volume on. Like even though he's deaf, I still leave the TV on so he has some sound, even though he can't hear. Because I just can't. I don't know. The thought of him just sitting in silence, which he is, but just knowing that there's sound, I don't know. It's really weird. And then I still talk to him like he's like he can hear me, which is really. I think it's crazy. You know, I still have conversations with him and like, hey, but you know, hey, what's going on?
Josh, why do you have conversations with him if he's deaf? Is it just habit? Or what do you think?
Yeah, because I've always been talking to him. He could always hear me. And
or maybe he sees, know. Maybe he sees you interacting too and stuff. Is that it? Like,
But it is a little weird because sometimes he'll be sleeping in the morning, like, and I'll get up and he's still sleeping. So I'll have to kind of slowly like wake him up in the morning so he like doesn't like freak out. So yeah, that's been a bit of an adjustment.
Does he bark?
Yeah, he'll bark at other dogs.
Even after he's been deaf, he still barks?
Yeah.
Does he sound different when he barks now that he's deaf?
No, he barks at me every, when I come home from work, he starts barking at me because he wants to eat. So he'll bark.
Right.
He'll just keep barking at me until like I get the food bowl ready and then he'll stop barking at me. Doesn't sound any different. He's always barked at other dogs. Sometimes he'll bark at people, but it's not like barking. I don't even know how to describe it. It's sort of a bark. I don't even know how to describe it.
Maybe try to demonstrate it.
This would be good practice for the segment at the end of the show.
It's like a what? I don't even know. Yeah, it's like a, basically like a gremlin or a.
Was that a yow?
Okay. All right. So speaking of struggles that you've overcome, Josh, what are some defining moments since high school? Some things that were difficult that you overcame.
Yeah, so I know we talked a lot about this, and I think we've all gone through this, like, you know, losing, I think probably at our age, everyone's lost their grandparents at this point in time. You know, I finally lost my grandma Jacob passed away a couple years ago. She was like in her 90s, which is crazy. So I think the toughest part for me, I think, looking back now was, when my grandpa Bear passed away when I was still living in Dallas. Just looking back, like when I was a younger kid, cause I, my real father had, he committed suicide when I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. So I never had my real father in my, you know, in my life, anything that I can really remember. So my grandfather kind of took over some of those things that a father would do, you know, like he taught me how to bowl and he taught me how to golf. So we do things like that. you know, I still golf and bowl to this day, not a whole lot on the regular, but, you know, I just kind of do that kind of to honor him and to kind of keep that going. Cause, you know, something that he had always done his whole life. And I think he probably taught my father and my uncle how to do that type of stuff too. But just looking back, I wish I would have appreciated that time a little bit more with him. Just knowing that I think he was kind of using that time to kind of get a second chance, you know, a second chance of being a father, maybe, you know, a second go around with me, you know, for a while. And I don't even know if many people know this, but I don't know if many people know that I didn't have my real father growing up, but for a while when I was like in my, like 18, you know, 18, 19, like I was kind of angry about that, you know, not having, even though I had my stepfather, he wasn't, I don't know. I always had this thing in my, this made up thing in my head where it was going to be just such a great, some sort of great relationship I would have had with my father, my real father. You know, so it was just kind of, I really got angry about it a lot and I didn't accept it. And, you know, I was really bummed out and depressed that, you know, he was never a part of my life really. But yeah, it still kind of bothers me to this day. I didn't have that. I never got to have that sort of relationship with him. And then I guess I should have appreciated my relationship with my stepdad a little more maybe, but it just wasn't like that. Not that he was a bad stepdad at all by any means. He was amazing. We didn't have that relationship. But yeah, so those are kind of some of the things in my life that have been kind of difficult.
Yeah, so your grandfather, he was played a really important role in your life. And so when he died, it was like a kind of empty spot, right? And so.
Yeah. So I still, and now sometimes, you know, my mom eventually moved out of our house in Cottle Falls, probably like maybe 8 or 9 years ago. But recently, like the past couple of years, I've had dreams about like being in my house, my old house in Cottle Falls.
Yeah, I have that all the time too. Yeah.
Do you guys have those dreams?
Yeah, I do all the time. Like, once a week, I feel like.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have those. So, Mike, your parents aren't in your house anymore either.
Nah.
I guess because mine are still in the house, so I've been there a lot still. So I wonder if that's why.
Yeah, probably.
I never had those dreams. Yeah.
Yeah, because I sort of felt like I lost my home base. I had nothing to go home to anymore. There was nothing. The last time I was in Cottle Falls was a reunion, but I didn't have anywhere to, you know, any home base to go to. It's kind of weird, but.
So, yeah, anyway, John, I mean, we talked a little bit about turning 40 and stuff, but what, like, how, is there anything else? Like, what about, like, you were talking a little bit when we were talking before, you're mentioning how dating and, like, people are getting married and stuff. Like, how's that been?
Well, yeah, so, yeah, I feel like everybody that I've ever known is married and has kids now. Yeah, that's been sort of a difficult part of my life, because when I was living in Dallas, I was younger, and you know, I basically developed, you know, a group of friendships with people that were just, you know, we could just run around with, you know, and have a good time. But yeah, as I've gotten older, like in my late 30s, like, yeah, a lot of my friends are married, they have kids. And then when I moved to Columbus, I had a couple friends and they, you know, they got married. Some people moved out of town. So now I have a new set of friends now and they're, you know, a lot of my friends are like in relationships, you know, with kids. They'll have kids and in a relationship with somebody else. So it's been difficult for me to like, you know, like to try to find single guy friends to kind of pal around with. I think it's been hard for me to kind of find male friends. I'm not sure if that's the case with a lot of males. It just seems weird to say, you know, hey bro, let me get your number and we'll hang out sometime.
Well, you know, that's actually why we started this podcast. I mean, we talk about it in the intro, but you weren't here for it. But like, I read this article and it's like, once you turn 40 or like middle age men, it's a lot harder to maintain friendships. And so that's why Steve and I are doing this podcast, actually, just to do an activity to maintain a friendship.
You guys don't stop talking to each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I really don't talk to, you know, I don't talk to Brad a whole lot anymore. You know, he's about to have a kid. And then Chad lives out of state. And Launer lives out of state. You know, those are kind of my good friends growing up. Bill Andrea, I don't talk to anymore. He still lives in Ohio, but he's got kids. We just don't connect anymore. We just don't talk anymore. And, I think kind of Facebook has kind of ruined that too, because now you can just go on and see people, you can see them and see their family, and see, and it's almost like, oh, I'm caught up with that person without even having a conversation with them, because you see that they, you know, they're going on vacations and they're posting pictures of their kids. So it's like, I don't need to talk to that person. I have kids. It seems like everything's going good. So, the funny thing is, like, I have this, my one buddy, Chris, he's probably in his 30s. We've kind of struck a friendship here recently, but then he just met a girl, like, recently. So I'm like, I lost my wingman. And, like, I was talking to my one friend, like, I almost hope, like, it doesn't work out with him and this girl. I have somebody I can go out with, you know? It's like,
maybe you can sabotage the relationship somehow?
Yeah, I need to sabotage it. What I'm doing is just sabotaging this last person that's getting in the relationship every chance that I get. Like, pull her aside, like, yeah, you know, he's like, you know what he did to his last girlfriend.
Just text him from a different number and, like, be like, hey, sexy.
Plant some weird photos around this place or something. Yeah.
Oh my god.
What about online dating?
Yeah, so then I've been doing online dating. So I met my last girlfriend on Match, and it's been hit or miss with the online dating thing. It's been tough. I think it's tough in your 40s because I sort of feel like there's not a whole lot of girls that are single that are in, like, their 30s, right? Because most people get married, like, you know, after college or in their late 20s. And then, so you kind of, there's an age gap where there's not many single women in their 30s. But then there's a lot of women that are single, like, that are 25, 26, 25 to 29. And then there's a lot of women that are in their 40s that are single because they're divorced and have kids. So I can't find, it's hard to find that 30-year-old, those 30-year-olds that maybe would want to date somebody that's, you know, 41 years old. And most women in their late 20s or early 30s don't want to date a guy that's my age. So that's the tough part. And then I was talking to my buddy the other day, one of my coworkers, is even, like, if I go to a bar and I approach somebody that sort of looks age appropriate, I just feel like I'm too, like, I just feel like a creepy old man. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm too old, and they're just gonna be like, who's this old guy talking to me? I remember going out one time and just being like, where do all the women that are in their 30s hang out? I don't know where it's at. Because in Columbus, you know, it's close to Ohio State, so a lot of these bars, they're just young girls. They're 20, you know, 20s or, and so I don't know where girls, like, in their 30s are hanging out at. If somebody knows.
Maybe we can have people call in.
Yeah, you could call in.
Where do the 30-year-olds in Columbus hang out? And if you have somebody you want to set up with Josh, then you can write in.
Josh is a great guy. I mean, you should show them this podcast. You should put this podcast on your dating profile, because then I think he's a defender of the downtrodden.
All right. You know, I try to stay positive about it, because, you know, that doesn't, you know, I'm not really, like, a religious person, but I think, like there's a plan for all of us, right? I feel that way. Like, some, you know, whatever door shuts, there's the reason the door shut is another door is going to open up to something else. So I think, like, whatever our path is, you know, whatever it's supposed to be, we just have to sort of accept that. And I just try to stay positive about it. And just, it's difficult, but I just have to think, okay, just there's something that's going to happen. It's just maybe not now. And yeah, as long as I just kind of try to stay healthy and young, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I definitely don't want to turn into some old, not that 40s old, but I think, you know, I had an injury. I injured my groin a couple months ago. So I hadn't worked out for about a month and a half, and I gained almost 10 pounds. So I definitely have to still keep working out. I'm going to have to get, like, new clothing and stuff.
You got to take care of your groin, man.
Were you skiing or?
Your groin. What's with your groin?
I'm a growing boy. I'm a growing young boy.
Just kidding.
That's a hot topic of this show.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. The groin is a real hot topic.
Well, moving on to our next segment. This is I'm really excited about this segment. This is a little different. This is a little bit different part of the show where it's a game kind of thing where what we do is we present a sound, and then everybody has to has to try to make this sound as close as possible using only their mouth. So here's the sound for this month, this episode. Josh, get ready. You have to mimic, you make the sound only with your mouth. Okay, go.
What?
Could you hear it?
It's just like,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but it's, I don't think it's coming over like that anymore. It was just like, bong. I don't know.
That sounded pretty good.
It was like an odd.
It was very good. That actually was pretty good. Could you...
Yeah. Okay, Steve. You ready?
I mean, it didn't get quite all the nuances.
Yeah. Let's see if you can. So, see if you can.
Here, I'll do it.
See if you can beat Josh. Okay, ready?
Okay.
I think Josh was better.
No, Steve had like the. He had like the ups and downs.
No, but yours was. I liked it. Okay, here's. Now I'll try.
Josh went for a more pure approach to it.
Yeah, more simplified. It's good.
Yeah,
it was good.
Got right to the essence.
Yeah, he did. Okay.
Let's hear Mike's.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I think we're all capturing like different wavelengths of sound.
I wonder if we put all three together, it might sound like an actual grandfather clock. What is that thing?
Yeah, Josh, could you try it one more time? I want to hear yours.
No, I'm done. I don't think I'm very good at that sound.
I wonder how long this segment will last. We forgot recommendations.
Yeah, so Josh, we like to ask, or we're planning to ask the guests, if you have anything you want to recommend or announce or promote. So it could just be like a movie that you recommend people watch, or an activity.
Or a type of tea, or some appliance, or...
A religion, state of mind. An appliance?
I have worked very hard in my life find like the perfect pair of socks and the perfect pair of underwear and
yes.
The perfect pair of office pants. I highly recommend the Van Heusen long sleeve traveler shirt. It's basically cotton and polyester with a little bit of spandex. It's my favorite shirt. I've bought basically almost every single color available. And then I finally found these pants from Dockers. They're Dockers on the go pants. And they're basically cotton polyester with a little bit of spandex in them.
Awesome.
So, and then my favorite underwear now is these jockey boxer briefs that are pretty comfy.
What are they?
And like, Dr. Scholl's. They're just boxer briefs, just kind of like mid-thigh boxer briefs. They're like, okay. I think spandex is making like a big, cotton spandex to me is like awesome because now Levi's makes. I'm a big fan of Levi's jeans, and they make their jeans now with a little bit of spandex in it, so they're kind of stretchy, like, you know, 1%, so you don't get that stiffness. Yeah, and then if you see me at work and I'm wearing pants, I have socks that are pulled up to my knees like an 80-year-old man. They're like these diabetic socks. So, like, don't you guys hate, like, when you're wearing socks and you have to constantly keep pulling them up?
Yeah,
so they fall,
totally.
They fall down. So I finally found these Dr. Scholl's. They're basically like spandex socks that like old people wear for that have diabetes, but they go up to like your knees. And I just don't want to lean over and keep pulling my socks up. So they
no,
they're awesome.
But nice.
Yeah, those are my recommendations.
So for all you listeners out there, we're gonna put the links to these things that Josh recommends on our website, which is cfhs94.com. All right. Well, Josh, thanks so much for being a guest on the show. Thank you so much for being the first guest. And it was really great to talk to you. And, you know, I hope we keep in touch.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. And, yeah, this is cool. I'm glad you guys are doing this. I think this is really exciting because I think everyone has a good story to tell. And I think we haven't, even if we saw each other at the reunion, I don't think we really talked about it. It was probably just all mostly superficial stuff. you know, everyone's got their life journey that they have that maybe not everybody knows about, which I think is a pretty cool thing. And, you know, we're all just trying to get by, right?
More or less. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I should probably go. But yeah, it's good. It's good talking, man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool.
Okay. See all you guys. See you guys.
Bye. Have a good night. Bye. See you.
So everyone listening, we just want to let you know that we've set up a voicemail box, and you can call us at any time and leave a message. The number is 330-731-1335. I'll repeat that. That is 330-731-1335. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to ask questions or leave any comments or feedback. Also, we'd appreciate it if some classmates could call in and, you know, leave a plug for the show, which will include another podcast. For example, like say something like, "Hi, this is Josh Bear, and I'm listening to Mike and Steve." Something like that would be great. We would publish it on our, you know, our next podcast. Also, we have a website. That's CFHS94.com, CFHS, like Cuyahoga Falls High School, 94.com. And we will post photos, like before and after photos of our podcast guests, bios, recommendation links from our guests, as well as news and anything else that comes up during the episode. So make sure to check it out.
Can this be found on iTunes?
Yes, this will be published on iTunes. Everyone should subscribe and also leave a good review because that really helps us out. We are looking for sponsors for our show. We have zero listeners, but we expect to have a lot. We expect to have a lot more. We expect to at least have all of the, a good portion of our class, you know, our graduating class, but I'm hoping to even spread out further than that, you know, and reach further into Cuyahoga Falls and the expanding Akron-Canton area, and then even further than that. But if you have a business in Cuyahoga Falls or the Akron area, or, you know, you just want to get the word out about your business and you want to become a sponsor, you want to help out, you know, reach out to us. Give us a call in the voicemail box or send us an email to mike@cfhs94.com or steve@cfhs94.com, and we could hook you up.
All right.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in to Mike and Steve episode 1. Thanks again for Josh Bear for being courageous enough to be guest number 1. We're really happy to have him. If anyone should be guest number 1, I think it should be Josh Bear. And we're looking forward to all our future classmates and guests.
Okay, well, that does it for this episode. That's one down, 340 to go. We hope you'll tune in for episode 2, which will feature guest Tracy Marzich, who you all probably know as Tracy Dukerich. And when she's on, we'll have to ask her how to pronounce her new last name, because I'm not sure I got it right. We'll find out next time. For now, we'll leave you with some highlights from our next episode.
Wow, on the way to the recital, my daughter Ava's going, "You are going to mess up so bad." I made a voodoo doll of you, and I, like, stabbed it all the time, and I could never look at your eye in your face again. I hate it. And I'm not a crier. Oh, but 40 changed too.